This morning I'll be reading out of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And we know the story of Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, and in school we used to joke a little bit about calling this story Nick at Night, about how Nicodemus came in the night because he didn't want to be discovered. But he had been intrigued with Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. He had been drawn to those teachings. He had more questions. He was discerning, if you will. A seed had been planted, and he was starting to try to discern what this thing was with Jesus. He came to Jesus and said, "These things that you do, there's no way that you do them apart from God, so we know that you're from God, we think, but I want to know more." Now, Nicodemus, in his position, was really not supposed to listen to Jesus in that same way others did. He was not supposed to switch over to that side. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader. He was someone respected for different views. But that seed had been planted because of what was happening with the disciples, of what was happening with Jesus. That seed had been planted, and it brought him to that point to basically say that I have to know more. So he comes to Jesus to find out more, albeit with caution, because he didn't want to be found out. So he came to Jesus at night to avoid detection. He came to Jesus at night so that others would not find out, but he still wanted to know more. Now what we see is an incomplete faith as he approaches Jesus, which really is no different than, assigning levels of spiritual maturity. We're each at a different place on our faith journey. We're each at a different place on the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Some are more focused on reading and praying than others are.
But we're all in a different place. And that's the whole thought of grace, that we're born, we're prevenient grace. We have justifying grace in our life to where we're growing more. We realize that we have a need for Jesus Christ. And then there's that whole journey towards sanctification or unconditional love in Jesus Christ. So we're all at different places, and we're seeing that with Nicodemus. And we know that his faith is incomplete because he approaches Jesus and calls him rabbi, teacher, and never goes any further than that. So rabbi means teacher, and that's what he's approaching. And you heard it said in the scripture, rabbi, you're a teacher. You're teaching us these things. So that's how he is acknowledging Jesus, at least at this point. And you'll notice that the conversation that Jesus has with him is that he tries to break it down. Jesus does a real good job of trying to break it down for Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was confused. He was confused with the message he had heard, and he was seeking clarification. He was struggling with the literal interpretation of being born again into the new life, because he had not yet grown old. And I think that's one of the dangers that we experience with the reading of the scripture, is trying to put things too literally at times. I mean, Nicodemus is just asking the same thing that we have all thought at some point, through the parables that Jesus has told, through the things that have happened. Jesus is basically explaining to Nicodemus that it's not that literal meaning, that there's something more there. Because what Nicodemus is trying to say is, if I've got to be born again, how is it that I can get back into my mother's womb and be born again? He was experiencing, or he was looking at it through the eyes of a human being and not realizing the whole global heavenly perspective of being born again through the water and the Spirit, and that only one who had descended from heaven could actually do this. And so what Jesus is doing is trying to help him understand. Now I think, and I believe Nicodemus missed it again, but what Jesus does is he tries to break it down and say, well, look at the wind. You don't know where the wind comes from. You don't know where the wind is going, but you know the wind is there. You don't know where it's come from, and you don't know where it's going, but you know the wind is there. And what Jesus tries to say, that it's not just a matter of being born again. It's about being changed by the water and the Spirit. It's about something bigger than just simply being obedient. It's about something bigger than just simply recognizing Jesus as a teacher of God's Word. It's about realizing that Jesus is a manifestation of God, of God being revealed into this world now for him to see. But Nicodemus was struggling. I've not grown old yet. I've not died. How can I be born again? What Jesus tells him is no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and that's a big and the Spirit, living that changed life. He also says, what is born of the flesh is flesh. A traditional birth. What is born of the flesh is flesh. And what is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we pull into the whole concept of new birth and baptism and a changed life. And what Jesus says to him is, you must be born from above. You must be born again from above. So what this explanation does is it brings us to the application of this word in the world to us today. It brings us to a life application point, because Nicodemus struggled with this concept of being born to the flesh versus being born to the Spirit. And I think we too at times struggle with this same thing. Not only the literal interpretation that Nicodemus is struggling with, but I also think that we pay more attention to to the world and to the flesh at times than we do to the Word of God. You see, there is more to the gift that is Jesus Christ than an explanation of water, flesh, and spirit. There's more than just the water, the flesh, and the spirit. Now, we've heard the terms is, they're my flesh and blood, so that means it's a great tie. It means that it's a strong tie if they're my flesh and blood versus just simply a friend. But what we're seeing here is that we too are the flesh and blood of a God who loved us so much. And I'm using that phrase to say something in a minute. Of a God that loved us so much, or a God that so loved us that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, it's more than just anything by itself of flesh, blood, and spirit being isolated. It's about how those things come together. Because Jesus is the manifestation of God's love in this world as a gift of salvation. Jesus is the example and the explanation of God's love. Now, that particular scripture that we read, John 3:16, that is probably the one that we all cite the most. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Or the traditional King James, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. Does it say in there, for God loved us so much? What does it say? For God so loved the world. It didn't say, God loved us so much that He gave His only Son. It said, for God so loved the world. So that comes back to what we were talking about with the children this morning. Can we measure God's love? Can we capture God's love and put it in a 2 fluid ounce bottle? No, we can't put God's love in a 2 fluid ounce bottle. And then we can't put, 1,200 square foot? We can't put God's love into a 1,200 square foot building and say, that's where it is. That's how much His love it is. Do what?
It wouldn't fit.
It wouldn't fit. Because it is so much, it is immeasurable. God's love is immeasurable. So the Scripture does not say, for God loved us so much that He gave. It doesn't quantify that or put a volume on His love. It said, for God so loved the world. So what we see is that Jesus Christ is an example of how God loves. For God so loved, it shows how God loves us. How does He love us? How does He love us? He loves us in the way that He will give His only Son. His only Son that we might live. That's the way our God loves us. And we're not going to put that in a bottle. We're not going to be able to put that into words. We're not going to be able to put that into anything, because that love is beyond measure. God loves us in a way that He would give His Son for us, that we would not perish. A true unconditional love that far exceeds anything that we can imagine, that far exceeds anything that can be attained through the flesh. You look at the world around us, meaning, how do we expect people to love us? I mean, how do we tell when somebody loves us? I mean, it might be that there are rings as signs of marriages or engagements. It might be that you expect to get roses or cards or those type of things. And it might be that we're expecting certain things out of relationships that measure God's love. I mean, that measure the love of one for another. But what it boils down to is the love that we've received from our Father, we can't measure. We can't go down a checklist and say, here are all the things that shows that God loves us. He has already poured out the very best in the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we might live. Because his gift, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, gave us forgiveness, gave us a promise of an everlasting life. And our response to that, and this is what Nicodemus is trying to understand and what Jesus is trying to help him to understand. The gift that we've received through Jesus Christ, accepting Christ as our salvation, requires us to turn away from our past self. The whole theme of Lent, self-denial, to turn away from our past self, to grow into something new as God intended. Because we were created in the image by the hands of God for a purpose, the flesh and blood of God Himself, because created by His hands in His image. We're created to belong, to be part of the body of Christ. Now, this belonging is really, if you get into psychology, is about self-actualization. In some ways, I mean, our basic needs, I mean, of course, food, water, and all that stuff, shelter, and then we grow up a little bit more and we start to identify a little bit more. But when we know who we are and where we are in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that's when we have reached that point of spiritual maturity that we desire. That's when we're growing to that point of sanctification, being made more perfect in love that we desire and is the plan for us. It's about that deeper relationship. We have a foundation. We have a foundation in Jesus Christ. We have a foundation in the Word of God. We have a foundation in our brothers and sisters in Christ that we walk this journey with. But when we more fully understand that relationship, that connection, and if we, when we can more fully answer that question that Nicodemus asked, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born of the water and the Spirit? Then we're truly going to be living a life in connection with our Heavenly Father. So Nicodemus had places that he needed to put away his past in order to know Jesus more fully. He needed to know Jesus as more than a teacher. Now, how many of you know what March the 9th was? And Nicodemus had to put away some things. How many, does anybody in here know what we celebrated on March the 9th? Anybody? And it's a secular thing. It's not. No. National Get Over It Day. March the 9th was National Get Over It Day. Now, if you didn't read the paper or the internet, it was not there. And it's got nothing to do with the church. But I want you to think about that. How more fitting can that be than to be in the season of Lent? Get over a day. Put our past behind us. Get over the things that burdened us so that we can focus more clearly on a relationship with Jesus Christ that He intends, that God intends for us. Nicodemus had things he needed to put behind him. We have things we need to put behind us. So I would invite you, as we continue this Lenten journey, think about those things that we need to put behind us. What is it that we need to get over so that our relationship with Christ might grow? You see, we put on Christ at baptism. So now we need to focus on deepening that relationship. It's more than just flesh and blood. It's about being changed because of the flesh and blood of Christ that was offered to us because of a merciful gift given by our Heavenly Father. It's about a relationship. It's about a changed life. It's about living out who we are and who God intends us to be as the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.